You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is good, everybody? Welcome one and all to TGI Football on the SB Nation NFL show, sponsored by our friends at DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. As noted, this is TGI Football on the SB Nation NFL show. Make sure you subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple devices, Spotify, etc., etc. You can also watch our show live normally on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel. You can do that with all of our productions around here, but you can't do this one because we are recording it ahead of time. We're always honest about how the sausage gets made. It's Wednesday, February 21st for us. Us is myself, RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys, and himself, Steven Turner from Arrowhead Pride. Steven, happy hump day.
I'm really excited about the NFL Combine. It's coming up really quick.
I was all ready to jibber jabber for like 5 minutes and you just dive right in. Okay.
Well, it's so... It's just been the Chiefs. What they don't tell you about, you know, winning back-to-back Super Bowls and being and covering this team that is just at the height of the sport is how long the seasons are. Because when you open the NFL season, you start training camp 2 weeks earlier than everybody else does. You play longer than everybody else does, and then you win the Super Bowl, and then immediately you have to turn the page to the NFL Combine. It's kind of there's no break. There's no time in between.
We all feel really badly for you, Steven. Just so you're clear, it's a bummer that you haven't had time to, you know, watch your favorite shows that you're behind on, or, you know, I don't know, clean an area of your residence that maybe has just been neglected for the last few months. Can I get one point of jimmer jabber in before we talk NFL? Because I had one ready for you.
Absolutely.
So we're recording this early, as mentioned. It's Wednesday for us, but we're dropping it on Friday as usual. I mean, it would be TGI Football wouldn't work if we dropped on Wednesdays normally. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm going to be traveling. And so the fellas were, or Steven was nice enough to be able to hop on with me on Wednesday ahead of time. And since we're going to talk about something a little bit more evergreen, we figured it was safe. But going to be traveling. And I've asked Brandon this before. What's the ideal? You're driving a few hours. Like, I want to hear your setup. Like, you know, are you listening to music? Are you doing podcasts? What kind of snack? What kind of drink? You know, like, what's your ideal time to drive? Just paint me the best possible picture for Steven.
So when I drive places, I'm one of those people, especially if it's a long one, like I'm talking like 5+ hours.
Okay.
I want to get up at like 5 a.m. and like, okay, and get going as early as possible, so I don't waste time when we get there.
Okay.
So I'm a big coffee person. I usually like to start the morning with podcasts and then I'll switch to music later on. Mm-hmm. And then I'm a big like breakfast sandwich person. So it could be like Mickey D's or something. It doesn't have to be anything expensive, but have something there that is okay to just like eat throughout the drive.
I think all that's really well said. It's a big dad move to want to get up early, right? And like beat the traffic and whatever. But I and even more so to be able to like get the most out of the day, you know, from when you get to the point, like whatever your destination is. Not a dad move, but a big husband move or partner move. I didn't realize this until I started dating my now wife, but when she was my girlfriend and we would go on trips, because I hadn't really had, you know, a long-term relationship like that. Look at me, one for one. But anyway, what do you see what's happening to me?
Yeah.
What was that?
That must be a function of the new fancy new computer. I don't know.
Wow. The one time we're not on YouTube. I was telling Steven right before we started recording, it's a different tangent, that I got a new computer from us here at work because my other one was breaking. And right now I threw the double thumbs up. It's not doing it again. There it goes. And these like fireworks were exploding behind me here on our streaming platform. So that's a fun. You try it, Steven. I want to know if it'll work.
It doesn't work for me.
No, but do it the way I did, like on either side of your face. Maybe it will. It has to be a StreamYard function. It can't be like a.
It's not. It's got to be a you function.
That was really weird.
I've never seen that before. I am in StreamYard all day, every day. I've never seen that happen before.
I've seen like if you put one up, I've seen it do like a there it goes. I've seen that before, the thumbs up thing. But can you try that one? Because I've seen that happen many times. Let's see. No. Wow. What the heck? Anyway, either way. Okay. That was really. Anyway, the point I was going to make was, it's difficult to set up something to eat. You talk breakfast sandwich when you're on the road. My wife is so kind. We'll go through and she'll. I don't like to eat a burger or a sandwich when I'm driving. It's too difficult. So I usually get like chicken tenders or something like that, and she'll set up the box or the bag to make it easy and accessible for me. So shout out to her.
Yeah. Breakfast burritos, also clutch. Like they got to be smaller though. You can't eat like a big breakfast.
It's a risk. It's a risk, but you know, hey. So today I mentioned something evergreen. We are going to dive into just last week we did kind of questions about the offseason. This week we're going to do questions about free agency specifically. Kind of everything. We kept the umbrella wide so we can, you know, not have to specify and keep ourselves safe. Do you want to start? Just go back and forth, ping and pong.
You start. I trust you.
I think that Kirk Cousins is going to be the highest paid player in NFL history in some capacity when he signs his deal. And I say some capacity, like it's either going to be, you know, the most guaranteed money ever handed out in like a 3-year window. You know what I mean? Like there's going to be some distinction to his contract that makes him the highest earner in that particular way in NFL history. So my question, I guess, is do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is going to happen because I know Kirk's coming off of a serious injury, but he was playing as well as he's ever played in his career last year before he got hurt. And really, I think it speaks. We've talked a lot of Kirk Cousins on this podcast because it seems like, you know, he's a player who took a long time to get to where he's at currently, but he has gotten better over his entire NFL career. And whether you want to say like he performs on clutch or whatever, like that's totally debatable, but he has put up strong numbers. He is a serviceable starting NFL quarterback who I think could make who I think should stick with the Vikings. But if he goes somewhere else, I think he's a capable guy if he's healthy, who will make the team better. And we've seen him kind of, I would make the case that he's been the smartest, one of the smartest quarterbacks in NFL history of like navigating his income and how much he thinks that he is worth, like what he did with Washington and then to get to Minnesota and get paid the way that he did. Like he reset the quarterback market when he went to the Vikings and now he's got an opportunity to do it again. Like I think someone will do that. Someone will give him that kind of money because that's just the way things are right now. Like he's a much better quarterback than like Baker Mayfield, which, you know, Baker Mayfield is going to hit the market and there's going to be teams that convince themselves to give him like a 3-year deal.
Baker's going to get like $40 million a year, right? Like
I'm okay on not doing that. I will give
that number is always like at the forefront of my brain because that's where Dak is currently at. But if we look at it from a an annual average value perspective, hang on, I'm pulling up over the cap. Average per year right now, how many quarterbacks do you think make more than $40 million a year?
4-9 Really?
Yeah. So Josh Allen at 43, Mahomes is listed at 45. I know his contract's like, you know, it's like the back of the Declaration of Independence and like nobody knows the whole like total truth. Deshaun's at 46. Kyler's at 46.1. Russ is at 49, although that's about to be ripped up. And then last year we got Hurts at 51, Lamar 52, Herbert 52.5, and Burrow 55. And Dak is probably going to get maybe 60. And you know, we'll see this offseason. Like, so I think it's way conceivable that Baker's going to get 40. I mean, if Daniel Jones is making that, and you know, I know that that's just the contract, but that's less than the franchise tag at this point in time. You know what I mean? Like that's crazy, but like he's gonna make that, and in a similar way, like yeah, Kirk is gonna make easily. Kirk can completely ask for $50 million a year, completely, I mean, how can you refute that right now based on the market and based on his performance? You can't, like you said.
We got to do something about these quarterback contracts. This is insane.
I mean, it really is, but like Jared Goff is at 33. Cousins is at 35 already. Yeah. What was Baker's one deal at? He's got to be way down here. I don't even see. I've missed him, I have to imagine.
I mean, I feel like it was cheaper. Like it was like 1 year, like $15 million or something like that.
I don't see Baker. Hang on, I'm actually going to Google this. Baker Mayfield, Buccaneers contract. You're going to guess $15 million? Oh my gosh. He had a 1 year deal worth $4 million.
So to Baker's credit, he played well above that.
Like, yeah,
he,
I mean,
he earned some more money, but $40 million for Baker Mayfield at this point is crazy.
Dude, I mean, but like, so who, I mean, maybe this is just, you know, we've spawned a web of of questions, but like, who conceivably is going to be active in the legitimate starter quarterback, you know, market in free agency? Like, again, just throwing out teams generally, you know, maybe one will or won't, but just to get a number. Seattle, maybe, right?
Yeah, I think they just gave Geno some more money,
though. I know, but okay, fine. Atlanta, yes. Tampa, yes, even if it's Baker. Minnesota, yes, even if it's Kirk. I don't know about Chicago. I mean, probably not. Washington, that's four, right? The Raiders, five, conceivably, unless they want to, you know, wait for the draft. The Broncos, potentially, six. The Titans, maybe, seven. I mean, stop me if I'm wrong on one. The Steelers, eight, maybe. And the Jets. Oh, no, sorry, the Jets. It's easy to forget about Aaron Rodgers. So the Patriots, though. So
yeah.
Nine. So you're talking about maybe, let's call it, plus over under 8.5 teams that are going to be involved in the free agent quarterback market. These are the quarterbacks set to hit free agency as things currently stand right now. I'm trying to isolate them by quarterback. I don't know. Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, Mitchell Trubisky, Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota, Sam Darnold, Drew Lock, Baker, Jameis, Gardner Minshew, Teddy Bridgewater, who's retiring, obviously. He's just listed here. So Carson Wentz, I mean, like, as you can see, like, the list gets pretty dire pretty quickly. So yeah. Kirk is the best on the market. Is Baker not the second best quarterback of all the ones that I just listed?
Yeah, I guess.
So, like, yeah, I guess if the question is Baker Mayfield going to make $40 million a year, I'm kind of willing to say yes, even if it's a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think you talked me into it.
Wow. That's successful first question.
It's a not great. Of
questions by me.
I would not want to be the team that is in that scenario where you have to give Baker Mayfield $40 million. But, yeah, that is very ugly.
All right. My question was fantastic. So, good luck topping it.
I think my first one is going to be Chiefs related, and it really just has to do with like what this defense is going to look like next season, because the Chiefs have two of the highest rated free agents in the NFL this offseason in Chris Jones and Lajarius Sneed. And I've seen a lot of people talk about, like, well, they can tag Chris Jones and then trade him and work out a long-term deal with Lajarius Sneed. And it's much more likely that they tag Lajarius Sneed and try to work out a long-term deal with Chris Jones at this point, because Chris Jones, if they tag him, it's like a $32 million cap hit, and the Chiefs just aren't going to commit that much of the cap dedicated to him on a one-year deal after they basically restructured his deal last offseason to give him a little bit more money this season, but it was all loaded up with incentives because he was getting fined like crazy for missing training camp. Also, Chris Jones should fire his representation. I think his agents are terrible. But it's really just, what does this defense look like if they have to retool it a little bit? And I think that path, tagging Sneed, working out an extension with Jones, I think the Chiefs defense could be really, really good again next season. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not there's any truth to Chris Jones, like, being like, I want to stay in Kansas City, I want to be here and keep winning titles. Or if Chris Jones wants to be the highest paid defensive tackle in football, because he's about to be 30 years old, but he was so good last season that he should still be the highest paid defensive tackle in football. I just don't know if that's going to happen if he winds up sticking with the Kansas City Chiefs.
my take on this is multiple part fold. One, Chris Jones had a horrible financial year, right? Like really, you know, floundered the way everything unfolded. It's been well documented at this point in time, so we don't have to necessarily rehash that. So it makes sense that he would be looking to get the bag, so to speak. I'm not cool enough to pull that expression off. But there is a lot of value to being a part of a dynasty and being a legitimate main character of a dynasty. Chris Jones is the main character of the defensive side of the ball in this Chiefs dynasty, right? You agree? Like even more than Spags, because he's the only one who you could say is like the common denominator.
Now, he is the best player on that side of the ball that the Chiefs have had since Derek Thomas.
Right. And the fact that he now has three titles, and if he picks up a fourth, again, like there's a lot of value. You want to be a part of the Backstreet Boys as long as you can. And you can't go solo right now and expect your legacy to be the same. Because if you remain a part of this, you win four titles, you're part of back-to-back-to-back, right? Like all these, you know, extra things. Like your long-term earning potential in retirement is significantly greater than most NFL people who retire, right? Just based on the life of a professional athlete. So I think that while Chris Jones is probably frustrated with the way everything went down, it's in his best interest to stay. It's absolutely in his best. Like, and that's unique to him. That isn't even unique to L'Jarius Sneed. Like L'Jarius Sneed's kind of a mercenary at this point. Like he's kind of, maybe mercenary is not the right word, but kind of the same sort of mold that I think Stephon Gilmore was in with the Patriots, right? Like showed up, had your amazing year, got your title. Now go just like gallivant and, you know, be whatever. So I don't see a world in which Chris Jones isn't back. Like based on all the evidence at play, that if I were advising, I'd be like, look, man, I know you might make less, but A, you don't have to move. It sucks. Like we all know, you know, really sucks. But like you want to be a part of this. Like there's a lot of value to being a part of this, however it ultimately all ends. And you don't want to throw that away for a short-sighted goal.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I hope that's how he feels, because he's obviously already a Chiefs Ring of Honor member. I think he's a Hall of Fame caliber player, and if he stays here and wins rings, he's only going to solidify that. But it's also like going somewhere else and not winning is a lot different when you have done so much winning. And like at this point in your career, at the back half of it, do you really want to go somewhere and be playing in games that don't mean anything? Because I think Chris Jones cares about the titles and the success that they've had here in Kansas City.
He has to, because he's a direct benefit from them in a way that a lot of people who have been a part of this whole thing aren't. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We were talking before we started recording, like Tyrann Mathieu is this like really notable NFL character, and he has like a fraction of the place in this story that Chris Jones does.
Yeah, and if Chris Jones didn't have the rings, he wouldn't be talked about as like a Hall of Fame caliber player. Like he is a tremendous NFL player, but like his regular season stats, like they're not Aaron Donald's year over year regular season stats.
No, but like when you pick up this much hardware, let's be very clear. I think you agree. Like acting like he's anywhere in Aaron Donald's stratosphere is absurd, which is more of a testament to Aaron Donald than an indictment against Chris Jones. But when you pick up all this hardware, it leads to dumb conversations in the future. Like, I don't know, man, Chris Jones, he showed up every year in the playoffs. Remember Super Bowl 58 against the Niners and blah, blah. Like, there's value to, like, actual monetary value to be gained from all that, which is why, again, I think it's in his best interest to stay.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Are you ready for my next question?
Yeah. Let's go.
So we are sort of loosely basing this conversation off of an article that ESPN had this week, and it was 2024 NFL free agency best team fits for the top 50 players. Chris Jones was number one, and Kirk was number three. I want to talk about number seven on the list, and it's a friend of SB Nation. JP and I spoke to him at the Super Bowl. T. Higgins, who will be the team to do it? These are the wide receivers set to hit free agency to kind of play my game from a moment ago. Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, players who present legitimate options in their own right, obviously, you know, for certain reasons, but, you know, different timelines for your franchise potentially. Curtis Samuel, Tyler Boyd, Mike Thomas, if you think it's 2017 still, Cordarrelle Patterson, DJ Chark, Cedric Wilson, who I always loved. I mean, on and on. Mecole Hardman, hey. Hollywood Brown is an interesting name. Calvin Ridley is an interesting name. But then there's T. Higgins. Like, I don't think there's a question that he's the best wide receiver on the market. And so who is the – I think the best archetype situation is the team with a rookie quarterback contract to build around. And so, like, how could – my pitch is for the Houston Texans to do it. I don't, that's – but I want to hear your thoughts on that pitch. And my pitch is for the Texans to do anything and everything. I've been in on the Texans. I have all the Texans stock around SB Nation. I think that's well documented at this point in time. They have the seventh most cap space in the NFL. Why not do it? I mean, why? I mean, outside of the fact that, like, it's all pointless because of the Chiefs. But, I mean, why not do it? Why not go get T. Higgins and Derrick Henry and whoever? And if not Houston, then who?
Well, I would love to see him land in Houston with the Texans because I think Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and T. Higgins would be awesome to watch with C.J. Stroud, and they obviously have the cap space to do it and make that happen. You know, they're letting Dalton Schultz and Devin Singletary out, and so they're going to have some other needs to fill there, but that would be awesome. I just don't really think that the Bengals are going to let T. Higgins walk. Like, I feel like it's so much more likely that they just wind up franchise tagging him and trying to see if they can make another run and be at the top of the AFC again with a healthy Joe Burrow. I really question the Cincinnati Bengals and kind of the direction that they're in right now. Obviously they're going to be a competitive team, but it feels like that's what they're doing. Like, they're like, we are so close. We made a Super Bowl, we lost, but we can be right back there. And you're ignoring like the red flags of the rest of their roster because their defense took a huge step back last season. So I feel like that's more likely than him actually hitting the open market. But I also think like the Carolina Panthers have a bunch of money and it's their biggest need, really. Like, they have tons of need.
No. Why do you hate T. Higgins?
But like, yeah, but like we talk about that and we're like, oh, don't you want to win? And so much of this stuff is so much about who's going to pay me the most money. Like, we see it every year, and every year we're like disappointed by a player going to a worse situation because we're like, well, why would he go there? He could have gone here and he would have won. He just taking a little bit of a discount. And it's like, no, I'm trying to get paid and they were offering me the most money, so that's why I went there. Like, the Panthers are a team that could offer T. Higgins a ton of money and make him one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL. And like, I think T. Higgins is great, but he's also had some issues staying on the field. So I don't think I'd make him like one of the three highest paid wide receivers in football, but the Panthers could certainly do something like that.
Not apples to apples, but you're saying he could be to the Panthers what Christian Kirk was to the Jaguars, even though, again, that kind of has worked out, but similar sort of situation.
Huh. Yeah. Like, it's,
wow.
We're talking about at this point with wide receivers, like, if you want to top a market deal, we're talking about $25 million, $30 million. Like, I don't know that if I'm a competitive team, I'm probably not willing to give T. Higgins that kind of money, but bottom feeder like the Panthers. Yeah. I think that they will absolutely pay that kind of money for a player like him.
I'm going to go again, if that's all right with you.
That's fine.
Okay. What is the Rams and Lions, what are the Rams and Lions big moves? Because, I mean, we've been talking cap space. The Lions have the 8th most cap space. Rams a little bit further down, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13th most. it feels like we all expected the Lions to show up, although I don't think anybody expected it to be as fun as it was. I know I was down on the party and everything, but the Rams really over-delivered. There has to be, like, they strike me as the two teams that are not going to, you know, wait around. They recognize that the window is now, and they're going to charge forward in free agency.
Yeah. I think they're two of the most interesting teams this offseason, and the Rams specifically, like, it feels like they really need an edge rusher, because their defensive line was better, I think, last year than even they probably anticipated. And a lot of that is because Aaron Donald is still really, really good. But their edge pressure was really bad last season. Like, they just don't have talented edge rushers. So that's a big need. They need to address their offensive line too, to try to protect Matthew Stafford better moving forward. So I could see those being big moves that are at the top of their list as far as like free agents go.
Maybe it's Brian Burns finally, like, you know what I mean? Like, at long last for the Rams, it's like, okay, let's just, you know, we've been eyeing each other, let's just get this done type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
with
the Lions.
And like for Aaron Donald too, like, he's at the back end of his career. So like, mm-hmm. I feel like the Rams are probably like, we are ahead of schedule, like, compared to where we really thought we were going to be last season. So I could see this being another offseason where the Rams are like, we're pushing all of it. And just trying to do it again with this short window that they've got Stafford and Donald together. But for the Lions, I think it's really all about defense. I think they need another reliable, like, wide receiver too, that can make plays. And maybe it is Jameson Williams. I don't think we've really had a fair look at him in the NFL so far, like the injury and then the suspension. And it's like, okay, can he make it through this offseason? And can we actually get a full sample size of Jameson Williams and what he can contribute? But even last year when he was healthy, he was still kind of like a part-time role player. He wasn't really, like, Josh Reynolds was taking a lot more of the offensive snaps than Jameson Williams was. And then, but on the defensive side of the ball, like, that was the Lions' biggest issue this season. Mostly their secondary. They could use another pass rusher too, because it's Aiden Hutchinson and a bunch of other dudes that don't really contribute all that much. But their secondary, they made those moves this past season, like bringing Emmanuel Mosley and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. It just didn't really work. Those guys had injuries all season. So they've got some huge issues to figure out on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that's where they have to start.
Okay. That's the Lions and Rams. Good job. I agree with you for what it's worth. I mean, I really don't. They do strike me as teams who are going to be awake. And like, it could be like a matter of like, like the Brian Burns things makes a lot of sense just because of the history there. But like, I mean, I don't know, like, it would not shock me if like I'm just looking at this name, like, if Justin Madubuike winds up somewhere like this, you know what I mean? Like, just like there is going to be the one, like, whoa, like Javon Hargrave to the Niners last year. It was kind of like, oh, whoa. Like, they really don't want to lose a step. So that was my question. I had two in a row.
I have a question for you, and okay, has to do with Cowboys great tackle Tyron Smith. And
if there's a Chiefs slant on this, I'm gonna,
well, like, no, but so, well, sort of, not specifically to the Kansas City Chiefs, but so is his time done with the Cowboys, and is it worth giving him a sizable chunk of change for somebody else who needs a left tackle because of his injury issues over the past several years?
I would much rather have Tyron around than not, if you're a Super Bowl contending team, which the Chiefs obviously are. They're the Super Bowl contending team. I think the Dallas Cowboys are, in the mortal way that most teams are Super Bowl contending teams. Especially because a lot has been made. I don't know how much of it you've seen about Jerry Jones's "we're going to be all in" comment that I think was just generalizing, not like a real thing. But if you are trying to do something serious this season, I think you have to take that risk with Tyron. You just have to. Like, it's too different. You have too many other things you have to do that you can't devote a serious resource to the left tackle position this offseason. Now, something I do think is interesting on this note specifically, and I wrote about this at BTB. I don't know who you're. Actually, I'll just put you on the spot. Who's your favorite draft analyst right now? Your favorite non-Arrowhead Pride draft analyst?
Probably Nate Tice, though. I don't think he's like specifically like a draft analyst, but he's really good at it.
Yeah, I'm talking like the main draft people. Nate is way too, you know,
versatile. I mean, he's not Dane just a draft. Brugler, I guess, would be The rings.
Okay, Dane, that's a great answer. Dane actually used to do a show for DallasCowboys.com. I don't know if you knew that, but so way to go full circle here. I think Daniel Jeremiah would be a lot of people's answer. Obviously, the face of NFL media's coverage of the draft, and in his second mock draft that went out on Tuesday of this week, he had the Cowboys taking Oklahoma tackle Tyler Guyton, which is fine. Like, I'm not like I have zero issues with this, but it was his explanation that I thought was really interesting. He said, you know, what Tyron Smith said to hit free agency, and this isn't necessarily a Tyron point, but it kind of factors into the whole conversation. So what Tyron said to hit free agency, Tyler Smith, who the Cowboys took in the first round 2 years ago now, can play left tackle, and Tyler Guyton can play right tackle. And I thought that was interesting because the Cowboys paid Terrence Steele $80 million to play right tackle last year. Now, some people read this, and this works with every fan base. Some people are like, oh, Daniel Jeremiah has no idea what he's talking about. This just goes to show he doesn't even know the teams. He has an expression that he says all the time that he builds his big board with his eyes, but he assembles his mock drafts with his ears, right? Like just kind of discussions he hears around the NFL. So yeah. I wonder if there's like conversation from people about the Cowboys adjusting their tackle situation. Maybe that involves playing Terrence Steele at left guard. They've talked about that before. But I mean, under that presumption, they seem to, you know, be willing again in DJ's hypothetical specifically to move on from Tyron. Now Tyron did say this week that he wants to play for the Cowboys in 2024, but what else is he supposed to say? So I would predict that he returns, but if he left, I wouldn't be like devastated. It would suck, but I mean, it won't hurt as much as a lot of other things would.
But like with all of his injuries, like, does he still have the juice to actually like go somewhere and be an elite left tackle?
Did you know that Dak Prescott is the longest tenured starting quarterback in the NFL?
No, didn't.
Yeah, like with his team. Like obviously like Aaron Rodgers exists, but you know, and Russell Wilson, but whatever. So like with his specific team, he has never played a full season with Tyron Smith.
So that's crazy.
I know. it's just and some of the early ones he missed like three games and whatever. And actually Tyron was pretty healthy last year relative to, you know, the previous few years. But that felt like the exception. So like that the exception's gonna happen 2 years in a row. I mean, the odds feel kind of small.
Yeah. I have one more. I have one more question.
Let's do this one and then we'll jibber jabber and get out of here.
Okay. It's really about the running backs because this seems like such a stacked class of free agent running backs. Like Saquon Barkley, obviously atop the list. I don't have any issues with that. Like he should be, but then like Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, Zach Moss, J.K. Dobbins, like Devin Singletary. Like, are any of these guys getting like significant money? Like Saquon Barkley is the only one that I think probably should. But even at that, like teams are so unwilling to pay these guys now. And like I remember like last offseason when Saquon Barkley was like holding out and then it immediately they just like restructured things a little bit to like give him a little bump in pay. And he was
the
like,
same okay, thing with Josh Jacobs to your exact point. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, and it's because they have absolutely no leverage at all. And at this point, like it's not a great running back draft class. So I guess that kind of helps, but like who's going to pay these guys a ton of money, especially when none of them are coming off of like massively elite seasons. Like it's a loaded free agent class with a bunch of names that, you know, but they're all guys that are kind of like past their prime, unless you want to make the case for Saquon. But like Saquon still hasn't been Christian McCaffrey or anything like that.
So I have several things to say, but I want to kind of quiz you on something. The great OCC, a blog on the boys, wrote an article, and I've actually referenced this a lot this week. That's how great of an article it was. This was a few days ago now, especially when this episode goes out. And it was learning from the past, 9 free agency mistakes the Cowboys should not repeat. And I think you could kind of apply this to any team, to be fair. But number one was to avoid the veteran running back. Now, OCC included the 5 biggest contracts handed out in free agency over each of the last 2 years. So of those 10 players, because it's 10 different contracts, how many running backs do you think improved from a rushing yardage standpoint? So like had more yardage with their new team on the first year of the deal that was given to them in free agency of the 10.
Christian McCaffrey. I
think he was traded for. So he's okay. Not involved.
So we're saying running backs that hit the open market and signed with a new team.
Yeah, five in the top five biggest contracts last year and the top five the year before.
I don't know. Maybe two.
One.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't happen very often. I was gonna say, I know Miles Sanders didn't improve last season with the Panthers.
These were the five biggest contracts handed out 2 years ago to running backs in free agency. And these aren't all necessarily even new teams. So Brandon Bolden, again, this is where we're at. Like with over the last 2 years, like that, this was the fifth biggest contract.
And Brandon Bolden probably didn't have a very high bar to clear.
JD McKissick, he had 226 yards and he still didn't clear it to the point. So, JD McKissick, this was again 2022. He had 212 yards to clear and couldn't. Rashad Penny, who and McKissick and Penny both returned to their teams. Chase Edmonds, remember all that hype and how like amazing that was going to be? Chase Edmonds, when he was coming off of his time with Arizona, had 592 yards, had 120 in his first season in Miami. And Leonard Fournette, you know, very recently coming off the playoff Lenny stuff, he went from 812 to 668. So zero of the five last year. The only one who has done it in the last 2 years was David Montgomery. But some of that was the supplemental play of Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Like that. So like you actually had to invest more than hand out the second biggest contract to a running back on the open market. You said Miles Sanders. He was the biggest, actually. He went from 1,200 yards to 432. Jamal Williams not only dipped significantly in yards, but in all the touchdowns he had from the year before. Samaje Perine, but I thought this wasn't even OCC's point, but the fifth biggest contract last year, Steven, handed out to a running back was Dalvin Cook. And that didn't even happen until halfway through training camp. And yeah, he also underdelivered, but like that was like, that fits your point that like you could have waited until half. So one team did wait until halfway through training camp and still handed out the fifth biggest contract to the position group over the offseason.
Yeah. Like, I feel like there's going to be some like early spending, maybe like for a team like the Texans that can build and have the money or whatever, but it's still not going to be like a ton of money. And I just don't think that any of these guys, because like, I mean, I would still be, depending on what the Cowboys decide to do with Tony Pollard, like I'd be interested in Pollard. Like, was last season just, you know, coming off of the ankle surgery? Like, can he bounce back and produce the way he did early in his career? Or is that like who he is now? But like the rest of these guys, I probably wouldn't go near. Saquon's just going to want too much money. Josh Jacobs has tons of tread on his tires and really only like one elite season. And Derrick Henry is clearly just like old and not the same player, but could still be productive in like a shared backfield. I don't think Derrick Henry should get 25 touches a game anymore.
I agree with you entirely. I did want to interject this note on Pollard specifically. People heard my interview with him from the Super Bowl last week on the NFL show feed. Shout out to you, Rachel and Kist. I don't know how much you were doing because you were kind of busy like with the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So, you know, whatever. But anyway, I asked Tony when he really felt like himself, and he said the week that Dallas played the Carolina Panthers. From that month, that was week 11. From week 11 on, PFF's highest graded rusher was Tony Pollard. So like you could talk yourself into it. You know what I mean? Like and again, if it's a fair deal, like relative to the market, which is going to be fair to you in general as a team, he might be the one I'd be most interested outside of Saquon for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Like JK Dobbins, like you're not paying JK Dobbins anything at this point.
I really would love to see all these players get paid, but JK, was it last year that he wanted to like hold out or whatever? And it was
he tried to.
Okay.
And I feel bad for him because he just had such bad luck in his career. And he was a player that I really liked coming out of college. But at this point, like the injuries are too stacked up. There's no way you can be confident that guy is the same player that he was when he was drafted.
Wow. These were some good questions. I really feel like we did our job. Do you?
Yeah, I feel like we killed it. This time of year, especially.
That's, I mean, well, if you think this is bad, I mean, just wait. One point of jibber jabber from you. Send us out right. Give us something to ping pong around.
I am going to go see the new Ethan Coen's new movie. It's not the Coen brothers' new movie. What's it called? Getaway Dolls or something like that. Sounds really good. I'm gonna go see it this weekend.
Ethan Coen. I don't know any of the words that you just said. Okay. Cool. That wasn't a real great
driveway dolls. That's what it's called. Not getaway dolls. Driveway dolls. It's going to be awesome. I'm not going to go see Madam Web. I chose not to.
You had said you were thinking about it. So
yeah, I decided to spend my time better last weekend.
Wow. I saw a quote from, or it was like a clip from Dakota Johnson. Is her last name? Is that correct?
Yes.
So in the, you might have seen this. This is a good jibber jabber. Like, learn from the jibber jabber pro here. It was a TikTok, just to be fully clear. In the video, the interviewer was like, I have a quote I want to read you from the trailer for Madam Web. And she was immediately just like, this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. And you might be able to tell me, it was the quote about, in the movie, her mom was studying spiders in the Amazon. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so the interviewer said, are you aware? And he said it in a really nice way. But he was like, are you aware that everyone thinks this is super dumb? Like, that was the gist of his question. Yeah. And she was like, no. And he was like, well, it went viral. And I mean, she clearly was aware. You know what I mean? Like, she was clearly like, so then he kept going and he was like, well, it went viral. And then I felt really bad for him, or really awkward for him, because she went, well, why did it go viral? And I was just thinking, like, dude, how are you going to answer this question without telling her that her movie sucks? And then he really did try. He was like, well, I think it was just, you know, out of context. It sounded interesting. And, you know, people were just kind of curious for the context. And then she said something that I thought was incredible. This is the genesis of why I wanted to bring this up. She said, well, isn't any sentence out of context? And I want to use that as much as I can in my life now, because it was both brilliant and really, really weird.
I think that she knows that movie's garbage. Like, I think based on this press tour and all the publicity that they've been doing for it, like, they know it's bad. And I'm totally convinced at this point that Sony and their Spider-Verse or whatever, that is just complete and utter garbage. The Venom movies suck. Morbius was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Like, I'm fully convinced that the, like, online cult of, like, Morbius, where they, like, they thought, oh, people actually love this movie, and it was just like online culture tricking them into re-releasing it and losing a bunch more money. Like, I think their takeaway from that was like, no, people actually like our movies. And so they just keep cranking out these awful movies, and I wish they would just stop.
That was a good, solid point of jibber jabber, I think. I want to ask you one last thing that the out of context line made me think of. You're a Community fan, right? The TV show? And maybe you've thought about this before. I think it's the Christmas episode from season 3. During the Troy and Abed Christmas rap, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
One of the lines in the rap, Troy, Childish Gambino, says, if years were seasons, this December would be the December of our December. And I've never understood or had anyone been able to explain to me what that means.
Since you want me, you just want to know what I think. So
yeah, I want to know. Maybe you can help me. If not, you know, something to think on for next week. And something for the listeners to think of next week.
Would be the December of our December.
If years were seasons, this December would be the December of our December. Actually, I think Abed says it. And I found a Reddit thread on this. And like, some explanations are that Abed evaluates life through the prism of television. And so he's saying like seasons as in seasons of television, whereas my brain thinks of it as like seasons of the year. So if years were seasons, this December would be the December of our December.
Yeah, I think the TV explanation works.
That's Jibber Jabber 101, baby.
Support for this show comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the big hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.